In spite of tremendous air activity against us, our men kept the enemy at bay, concentrating their fire on the narrow defile of such mountain passes as the Germans tried to force. The fighting here was terrific, the German High Command continually throwing more and more troops into action with a total disregard for casualties. The German soldiers, armed with a high proportion of Tommy guns, were in plain sight of our men, who were literally able to mow them down like wheat before a scythe. At times, and this has been recounted by scores of different troops, not only did our guns become uncomfortably hot to handle, but our men became physically sick at the complete and utter destruction. But in time, the sheer weight of numbers overbalanced the scale. More and more Germans were poured into the gap, and orders came through that our brigade, by then the rear guard, was to retire according to plan. Our men were exhausted with days of killing on a tremendous scale and had had very little sleep. At night, the German planes dropped their bombs, mainly from the point of view of the nuisance value, the continual and incessant detonation preventing any sleep or any rest. And so, our main body having withdrawn through Larissa, the rear guard made an orderly retreat also. By the 20th of April, the withdrawal to Thermopylae was complete, but lacking Greek assistance, not even two divisions were sufficient to hold up the German advance. And so, 2 days later, it was decided to evacuate Greece. Again, a New Zealand brigade was called upon to hold up the enemy in the rear, to enable the rest to have a chance of getting to the beaches in comparative safety. And it was on those beaches, as one New Zealand major put it, that our chap said, more as a prayer than as a statement, "Thank God we've got a navy." On beach after beach lining the Greek mainland, our men, along with British, Australians, Cypriots, and Palestinians, were congregated. The one available harbour at Piraeus, near Athens, had been damaged by enemy air bombardment, and so our men were directed to a multitude of isolated beaches, where during the day they lay hidden among the olive groves and the cornfields in order to avoid recognition from the air. At night, in the pitch darkness, for fortunately the moon was no more than new, a flashing torch out on the water indicated the presence of a British destroyer or torpedo boat. Further out still, a transport or a passenger ship lay quietly, with not a light to be seen. And from the olive groves and the ground surrounding the beaches, our men were silently collected in little groups, well separated, should enemy aircraft drop flares to be followed by bombs and machine gun fire. And on every kind of small watercraft, boats, dinghies, naval launches, and Greek kikes or fishing boats, our troops were embarked to be towed out to the waiting ships. And for them, although danger was by no means a thing of the past, that meant comparative safety. The comfort of being able to get a hot meal again, and the joy of being able to sleep on something softer than rocks or boulders. The sailors and the crews took our men in hand and freely gave to them every comfort that they had.